Welcome back to another episode of the Pickup Music Pod, where we help you improve your guitar skills. Today, we have a very, very special episode because we're talking about metal. That's right, folks. No more modes, no more major 7 sharp 11, no more lo-fi beats. Pickup has officially not only embraced, but full-on adopted metal. Now, we are releasing our brand new metal learning pathway, which actually came out today at the time of this recording. And while Sam and I have a great appreciation for metal guitar and metal music, we are by no means metal experts. So today is even more special because we're not only going to have a special guest, but we have a special host. So let me talk about Mr. Julio Mendoza for a second. He's the production director here at Pickup, which means that he handles all things production, from video, pictures, audio, editing, you name it, right? But he's also a serious metalhead, and he's an extremely talented guitarist in his own right. So he designed this course and brought in, I would say, one of the rising stars in metal music, really, Mr. Pat Lukens, better known as Myrone out there on the internet. So with all that out of the way, I'm going to hand it over to Julio and Pat.
Today, I'm here with my good friend Patrick, famously known on Instagram as Myrone, right?
True.
And today we're going to talk about Desert Island metal guitar skills, right?
Yes.
So why don't you introduce yourself for the Pickup Music audience here, Pat?
Okay, cool. Yeah, my name is Pat. You might know me as Myrone. I also play in a metal band called Firstborn. And I do a lot of session and production work around town in Los Angeles. And I love heavy metal guitar.
Yes, we do love heavy metal guitar here. And it's great that Pickup now, it's going into the realms of heavy metal, right?
Yes.
Because we never...
An important realm.
Yeah, there's a lot of people out there that like heavy metal and metal guitar in general.
Yeah.
So it's great that we're doing this now, mostly known as a neo-soul jazz platform, I would say. It's great. It's great to have you here as well.
Oh, thank you. Honored to be here.
Yeah. So let's jump into our must-know Desert Island guitar skills here. What would you say would be the very first, like, foundational skill when you're learning metal guitar, in your opinion?
In my opinion, the sound of heavy metal is palm muting. If you don't know how to palm mute, particularly with downstrokes, you know, if you don't know how to do that, I'm sorry, but you're not going to be able to get on stage at the metal festival. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it makes sense. Yeah. It's funny how palm muting is, like, when I learned, at least, like, I learned as just this technique to mute the strings.
Right. Yeah.
Like, that's what we were taught. But it actually shapes the sound. Mm-hmm. It's not only like a technique, like it's a sonic element. It's like a production element.
Yeah, totally.
When it comes to shaping the sound of metal guitar, right?
Yeah. It's kind of like, I don't know, like dubstep has like the wub.
Yeah. what is the wub for people that are familiarized?
Like, attempt a beatbox, but you know, like wow, 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 you know?
Yeah.
Electronic music, dubstep.
Yeah. If you don't know, maybe just... Google it. Yeah.
But yeah, I would say the analog in metal is, you know, the palm mute. That's what, like, when you see a metal band and they got the amps turned up really loud, and or maybe they got the amp mic'd up and it's just blasting through the PA. When you hear that palm mute, like, it like hits you in like the chest, you know?
Yeah.
It's like a very like visceral, like physical experience.
Yes.
And oftentimes when I'm teaching people how to play guitar and I'm teaching them like a Metallica song, for example, when I teach them the palm mute, like, you can see like their eyes light up and they're like they just like unearthed like some secret power for themselves or something. Like, it's crazy. Yeah, that's basically what the genre is founded on. It's like the feeling of, oh my God, this is cool. Let's make songs with as much of this as possible, you know?
Yeah. And I think we can agree that, like, Metallica was one of the bands that made that very popular, but it can be used in other approaches as well, right?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, when I, like, if you're going to look up, like, palm mute in the dictionary, you'd probably just see a picture of James Hetfield's right hand.
Down picking.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think he's like the first person to do it, but I think he sort of like distilled the feeling of like aggressive, like palm muting, like into like a super focused, like force of nature. And that's sort of what propelled Metallica to like superstardom.
Yeah. I don't want to cause any confusion here, but was it James Hetfield or Dave Mustaine?
Oh, controversial. I wasn't there, so
it was the band. It was one of those guys.
Yeah.
so when it comes to like the physical element, like on the guitar, like is there like a certain pressure you add? Like, what do you think? Like, it's valuable for our students here?
Yeah. Well, it's something where I think it's probably different just based on, you know, the physicality of your own hands. But I would say if you're just starting out, like, you know, get your guitar, get a sound that's like fairly distorted or whatever, and just kind of experiment with like playing downstrokes and then figure out like where your hand needs to be to like create the sound that you're looking for. So like if you move it closer, like it gets super choked. Maybe that's too open, and then kind of find like a nice happy medium, and then all of a sudden your face starts changing, and that's when you know you've got it.
Yeah, the face. For those who are just listening, yeah, the face is important.
The face is super important.
Pat is doing like a monster face here.
It's like literally impossible to avoid. It's kind of the same thing if you're playing with a wah-wah, all of a sudden you're like...
Yeah, doing the wild mouse.
Yeah. When like, you know you got your palm mutes in the right places. As soon as you start doing it, it's like.
Starts to become a monster.
Yeah. You unleash the beast.
Yes. Palm muting definitely is one of the main elements when it comes to shaping the sound of metal. But I think that one of the techniques that is like one of the most important and foundational skills is the power chord.
Oh yes.
Would you agree on that?
I mean, you could even say like palm muting power chords is the sound of heavy metal. They kind of work
combining
in tandem.
Both.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
But I mean, there are entire metal songs that are just, you know, moving different power chord shapes around.
Yeah.
And the reason why it works is you know, in metal, you kind of play with a fairly distorted, saturated sound. And so if you try to do like jazz chords, it's not, I mean, you can, but it's not exact. Like when you hear this, it's not necessarily the same sort of like impact as that, you know, it's much more focused.
Yeah. It's like in your face, like those thirds and sevenths, they're like muffled there. There's no definition.
Yeah.
Whereas when you play a power chord, just like the one, the fifth, and maybe the octave.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all you need.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of the spirit of metal, right? Is in some ways, metal is like very technical, but also, I mean, you can think about it like an F1 car, right? Like F1 cars are sort of like stripped down to their like very foundation, like everything you need and absolutely nothing you don't. But they're also highly technical, and a power chord is the same way. Like, it's just the notes that you need, you know, just two or three, and then you can do like, you know, technical like rhythm stuff. And that sort of like push and pull of like the extremely simple but yet highly technical, that's kind of like the feeling of heavy metal.
Yeah, and if you look at metal history throughout like the ages, like since Black Sabbath up until these days, let's say 2024, power chords been in any variation of metal. Like every genre or style, because metal has like multiple versions of itself. And like, but power chords are always there somehow. So
big
it's
time.
Like foundational.
Yeah.
Like,
it's the sound.
Yeah. So like what will be like some honorable mentions in terms of like bands? Like I think Iron Maiden is one that comes to mind. Like Iron Maiden and Black Sabbath.
Yeah, they're like the power chord appreciators for sure.
Yeah.
That's probably like two of the most like influential heavy metal bands. Like I think if you're not inspired by Iron Maiden or Black Sabbath, like maybe you indirectly are because you've listened to a band that is directly inspired by them.
Yeah, yeah. Like some people tend to like talk about some bands like as old or old school or stuff like that. But it's just, it all comes from, at least in my opinion, it all comes from the same source.
Yeah.
They're just changing the technology around it, the production, the sounds, the whatever. But it's all kind of like the same but different, right?
Yeah, yeah.
In the end.
Yeah. We're all just playing palm mutes and power chords.
Yeah, that's it. That's what we're doing for 60 years.
Yeah.
And the good thing about these techniques, they're quite simple. I remember like power chords is one of the first things I learned like on the guitar.
Yeah.
It's not something that you need to be like a genius to play. You
yeah.
know? So that's the best part in my opinion.
That's the beauty of it. Frequently when I'm teaching, I'm oftentimes teaching students who are maybe they're holding the guitar for the first time. I kind of like just teaching them basic Metallica songs because like you said, it's easy to like once you like figure out the palm mute, like you take those 10 seconds to kind of dial it in. It's exciting. All of a sudden you're like, you've got this like power. It's really easy to just string power chords together. And then all of a sudden you're playing music, which at the end of the day, that's the most important aspect to all of this, all these lessons and all these teachings is you want to get to a place where you're playing music with your friends.
Yeah.
Because that's what it's all about.
Yeah.
It's not about being the best or the like the most legendary technical guitar player. It's about making music and connecting with your friends.
Yes, that's powerful advice there. I love that. Yeah. All right. So we've been talking about all these guitar skills that are mostly like rhythm-based techniques. But we all know that metal guitar players love to shred.
Oh, yes.
And to solo.
Oh, yes. Of course. Yeah.
So what do you think, with that in mind, will be the desert island skill for soloing?
For soloing?
Yeah.
I mean, first things first, you got to learn the sort of like angled metal picking technique where you're taking the pick and instead of attacking the string kind of at a parallel angle, you sort of like angle it 45 degrees. And then because of that, you can kind of saw through the string and all of a sudden you're playing faster than you ever thought you could. Yeah, a lot of metal relies on kind of fast alternate picking, especially, you know, like when you're doing the tremolo picking stuff or maybe like and you're not going to be able to do that if you're caught up in the strings because you're holding the pick at a parallel angle. So angling it, in my case, I like to angle it down. You might angle it up. Kind of depends on what you like doing.
The jazz guys, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The George Benson grip.
Or like the Marty Friedman style where you're playing like this.
Yeah.
Yeah, just like it kind of, you start to like saw through the strings a little bit.
So for those who are just listening, how can you describe that sonically? What you're doing is like, imagine like the pick is like hitting the string in a parallel way, right?
Yeah, this is parallel. And you notice that like, I kind of get caught up and it's not really working. If you just angle it down, so you're like kind of sawing it, the pick will kind of just like glide through the string. And you also, you can tell like it's a little bit more consistent sounding too. Even the tone is like a little bit better than doing it. Like sometimes you'll want to play like a little bit more parallel to kind of get like that, like trebly, like kind of like a,
yeah, the attack. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, especially if you're doing like,
yeah.
You want the attack, but like, you know, when you're playing higher up on the neck and you're playing fast, like sometimes having a ton of high end is a little harsh on the ears. So angling the pick. You know, helps it sound a little bit more smooth or.
Yeah. And I definitely agree that it impacts the guitar tone because you have the sound of the pick itself kind of like, I don't know the correct term for it, but like it feels like the plastic material, it's like attacking the strings
you can hear it.
That this just becomes part of the sound.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which is quite interesting. I don't think people spend as much time on this as they should because this is, in my opinion, like the most important skill, like no matter what, if you want to play fast. Like, I think the normal approach is to think about metronomes and BPMs and scales and stuff, but no matter, you can spend like 5-10 years trying to, you know, play scales up and down, but if you're not playing the right picking angle or applying the right movement,
yeah,
you're never gonna build the speed. So that is so crucial that I think like that's the most important piece of information when it comes to playing fast.
You won't get the speed, and also it won't sound right either, which is the most, another very important part.
Yeah, it's like the it's like going to the gym. Like you're trying to like bulk up and get big and stuff, and if you're not doing like the proper motion or having the right form, you're never going to be able to progress because you're not doing the movement properly.
Right, exactly.
So it's the same thing here. Like if you're doing the exercise with the proper form, you're more likely to achieve better results over time, pretty 100%. Much.
Yeah.
Yeah. Another cool thing that you mentioned that I think it's really cool is that it's not that we're going to angle our pick and play like that forever. It's like a tool, you know, like sometimes you need a screwdriver, sometimes you need like a hammer or something, depends sometimes on what you're working on.
Sometimes you need a flamethrower.
Yeah,
you know? You got to match the right tool in the right situation.
What type of beast you're dealing with, you might need a flamethrower, who knows? Yeah. But yeah, like you can definitely like switch it up, like you said, for some rhythm based stuff. Like sometimes you need a little more attack and attitude, so you might want that traditional grip going. But then when it comes to the speed and fluidity, and if you want to go up and down arpeggios and shred like crazy, then definitely. So I think that's, there's a lot of value in understanding that it's everything can be useful if you use it for the at the right moment.
Yeah,
you
big know? Time.
Like, cool. So now we're dialed in with our picking angle. Mm-hmm. But what about the fretting hand? Like, if you're a shredder, a solo guy for metal, what shape, what scale, what are you looking for when it comes to the fretting hand?
When I teach students, like when I want to get them thinking about solos, the first thing I always teach is that sort of home base minor pentatonic shape. So let's say you're an A. It's this one. You know that.
Starting on the root, the fifth fret, the low E string. Yeah, that's the main one.
Yeah, and then kind of an offshoot of that is like you incorporate the blue note. So like how many metal riffs do we know that are like... Yeah. You know, it's all kind of that pentatonic shape. And there's just so much that you can do. Like there are complete guitar solos out there that just exist in that kind of, in that shape. And it's the thing that once you learn more scales, more positions, like, you know, you'll be in these moments on stage where you'll get lost in the sauce and you're shredding, and then all of a sudden you kind of come back to reality and you're like, where do I go? Oh yeah, home base. You know? So it's a good kind of resting place to come back to. It's like your familiar like place that you can just live, and there's no wrong notes in here. You know, if you end up in the shape, you're probably okay. You know, there's like safety in it.
Yeah. On that note, you said something like very important. The idea of like advanced guitar players that people have is that they get their stuff like in the top of their fingers 100% of the time.
Oh, no
way. And that's not true.
No way, dude.
Right?
Yeah, I'm messing up like basically all the time.
Yeah, exactly.
And just living with it, you know?
Exactly. I've worked with so many guitar players in studio and touring and doing multiple scenarios, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's safe to say that like for advanced guitar players, it's a combination of like a database of ideas and home base ideas like this one.
Yeah.
And the stuff they come up with, improvisation and stuff. So it's not that they're like the masters of the universe 100% of the time. There's always the safety aspect.
Yeah.
And that's when shapes like that one and ideas like that one are pretty valuable for you. And I think a good way to start going towards this advanced level on your guitar playing is to start building your own database of home base shapes and ideas, right?
Yeah. Yeah, every great house needs a foundation. You're not going to, you know, you're not going to build the guitar mansion of your dreams with 18 rooms of exotic scales and chord shapes.
The Ferrari.
Yeah, exactly. Without a solid foundation of the...
And it's all the notes you need, actually. That's the thing.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
What else do you need? Yeah. Like, later on in my guitar education, I started learning all the sevens and nines. Mm-hmm. And they're cool, you know? They sound great. They're sophisticated. But, like, it's so cool as well to just play a pentatonic scale over an E minor or A minor backing track.
Yeah.
And it's as cool as doing all these fancy chords, you know?
Yeah. Like, It's kind of funny. I kind of had a similar journey where starting out, I'm like, yeah, pentatonic scale. And then as I got older, it's like, oh, I learned all this other stuff. The mode, it's like going crazy. And then now I'm kind of like, oh, the pentatonic scale. Yes.
That was great.
It's good.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I'm not saying that you shouldn't go towards learning more stuff.
Oh, you have to.
Right?
You have to
master all that stuff and be curious and learn multiple approaches. But it all comes down to whatever is comfortable to you at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And that's what I think guitar players that are like recognizable with their playing lean towards.
Yeah.
When you hear like Eddie Van Halen, you know it's Eddie Van Halen, but that's because he's doing whatever's comfortable for him.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think we all should do the same.
Yeah,
you know?
And even some of the more like advanced like jazz fusion guys, like Scott Henderson, for example. A lot of Scott Henderson, what he's just using pentatonic shapes in like really creative ways.
Yeah.
Like something that I kind of stole from him. He talks about all the time is like, oh, you can just use the pentatonic scale like up 2 frets or, you know, or if you want to get play something that's out, you know, you just shift everything up a fret. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
It's all just that home base pentatonic shape.
And it all comes down to the note where you're going to land.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
If you land on the right note, whatever you did in the middle there, it's kind of like bypassed a little bit.
Yeah.
Especially if it's like a fast run.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, statistically, there's some study done where they're studying listening and speech. And I'm going to misquote this, but basically, if you say like a sentence to a human being, 80% of the time, people will be able to identify the first word and the last word.
Mm.
And then the other stuff like has varying degrees of recall.
Wow.
But so if you translate that into music, it's like your opening phrase and your last phrase, or just worry about those. You can mess up all you want in the middle. Just like nail the beginning and the ending and you should be good.
Yeah. And that's why you open your solo with a band and you close with a band.
Yeah. On the home base shape.
Yeah. Yeah, finish with the root note.
Yeah.
Safe and sound.
Yeah.
So far, we had palm muting, power chords, picking angle, and then the home base pentatonic shape.
I think those are probably like the essentials. You know, it's like you're in your survival backpack on the metal desert island.
The metal desert island, And it's kind of cool because they can be approached as like rhythm guitar techniques and lead guitar techniques. It all fits like a specific use.
Yeah, definitely.
And even sometimes it's just you can use for both.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Of course, there is a sea of skills and techniques that we can list here.
Yeah, like our honorable mentions.
Yeah, it's also personal. It depends on how you play the guitar and what your sound is. Mm-hmm. What do we agree that are honorable mentions also between us?
Well, I guess we definitely would have to talk about vibrato.
Yeah.
The way people, you know, add a little bit of
the sauce.
English or the sauce to their notes or whatever, extremely important in metal. Oftentimes, the way a player does their vibrato, that can be what identifies them as a player. Some people have like really wide and slow vibratos, like Brandon from Black Dahlia Murder. He's got one of the best vibrato techniques, I think. It's super like saucy and slow and wide and full of attitude. Some people do like maybe a little bit faster, like maybe Zach Wilde. He kind of does like he'll incorporate like a pinch harmonic and do it a little bit, you know, quicker and crazier or something like that. But, you know, metal is a genre that's all about being loud and in your face and having a distinctive vibrato is a great way of like putting your own signature stamp on whatever you're doing, you know?
I agree 100%. And there's also the physical element of heavy metal guitar. I don't think it's like a very theoretical type of playing. It's more physical. Like you learn your stuff and then you go out and do it, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And when you add vibratos and bends and all sorts of articulations, that's like kind of you transferring your body language mm-hmm. into the instrument.
Yeah.
And then it happens like you exactly what you said. Like now I know that's yeah. the guy from Ozzy Osbourne. Or yeah, I yeah, know yeah. That's Zakk Wylde.
Yeah, yeah.
Because of the way he's doing the vibrato.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you don't want to sound like all flat and just, yeah.
Yeah, you don't want to be up there being long. You want to
add some sauce there. Yeah.
Or...
One thing, though, that's kind of interesting to mention is that I realize that when it comes to metal guitar, we tend to use more like vibratos more often. Like we're almost like every space we have, we try to fill in
yeah.
with a little vibrato. Mm-hmm. But that's so, it's also something tricky because we see in some students that they tend to use the vibrato not very intentionally. So at some point it becomes like sometimes maybe you don't need to use the vibrato, but the only thing I would say is like try to be intentional
for sure
with how you use it. Just don't be like random.
Yeah.
You know, because it in metal we tend to do that sometimes, right?
Something I think about all the time is I was watching an interview with Marty Friedman one time. And he said, the way I like to think about vibrato is I think of me as a singer. You know, when a singer is singing, they tend to add vibrato kind of gradually as the note goes on. So it's not just right off the bat. It's... And so that way, like, the note has a little bit of a story to it. It's not just, oh... I mean, you can do that if you want to add vibrato right off the bat, but... If you're intentional about it, there's, you know, different ways of doing it. Also, you know, you can do vibrato with your fingers, or if you have a whammy bar, you can. You know, that's a little bit of a different sound as well.
Yeah, yeah. And just like the picking angle, I think is just something that is good to be aware of.
Yeah.
Like, don't do it randomly. Like, the picking angle is one of those things where sometimes you're trying to play, but you're not aware exactly how you're holding the pick.
Yeah.
And then once you're aware, you're like, oh, okay, so that's it.
Yeah, yeah.
So vibrato is the same. Like
yeah.
every time you play a vibrato, you try to be a little intentional with like trying to complement what you're doing instead of like having this filling the gaps mentality
yeah.
of just playing vibratos for the sake of like, yeah, you know what I mean? But yeah, I agree. That's one of the most must-know techniques for metal playing for sure. Another important technique, in my opinion, is alternate picking. It's like the bread and butter of shredders out there.
Oh, yeah.
It's like the holy grail skill that yeah. everybody wants to achieve, right? Mm-hmm. When they're learning
yeah.
metal, especially like soloing.
Yeah, yeah. I think like fast alternate picking, like that's the sound of like shredding, you know?
Yeah.
If you think of like a circular saw, like shredding a piece of wood, you
yeah.
know, the saw's got those blades that are kind of like serrated, like a, you know, and that's kind of like the sound of like alternate picking.
Yeah. And I also think like that's the stereotypical technique for the shredder. Like everybody, when think of playing shred guitar, we'll think about like that type of technique.
Yeah.
That like, type of sound.
Like right? Let's say you're hanging out with your friend, your friends are over at your place. Like, oh, you play guitar? Like,
yeah.
Can you shred? And you're like,
exactly.
Yeah, I can shred.
Yeah. Like, that's what you're going for.
You start, you know, doing some alternate picking stuff.
Exactly. That's exactly what I was trying to say. Like yeah. that's the stuff that automatically puts you into the shredder.
Yeah. That's the shredder's ballpark. Realm. Yeah.
Yeah. The realm. Yeah. yeah. So like now you got the title.
Yeah. yeah.
If you master alternate picking, You're there.
Yeah. Another sort of honorable mention guitar technique, I guess this is more of like a category of guitar techniques, would be sort of like the special effects and noises that you can do on guitar in a metal context. For example, like a pick slide.
Yeah.
Or maybe like, you know, like a dive bomb. Or, well, I guess it's like a harmonic. a squeal, a dive bomb. You know, you can do all sorts of stuff where you're playing behind the nut, or maybe you're fluttering the whammy bar. Like, sometimes in metal, like, traditional, like, music theory stuff kind of, like, flies out the window, and it's more about, like, creating a sound to, like, convey the, you know, crazy emotions or whatever.
Can you do the elephant?
Can I do the elephant? I think I might be able to. Hold on.
That's it, right?
Yeah. Or the horse.
Oh, yeah. So suddenly we're recreating animals on the guitar. Yeah. Animal sounds. It's like that keyboard, you know, when you're a baby. Is that just a cat?
A cat, or like a seagull kind of. Or.
Yeah. You know that little keyboard when you're like a baby and there's like the image of a cat and a dog and you press the button and it makes the noise?
Yes.
Metal guitar is kind of like that.
It's the same thing. None of us have ever grown up.
Exactly. Yeah. We just picked our entire personality when we were 6 year old, and that's it. We're just sticking
to it. That's
it
for me. No emotional growth necessary.
No. Just heavy metal guitar.
Just fun.
Just fun. Yeah. Yeah, man. I think we covered a lot of ground here.
Definitely. Yeah.
I think there's a lot of value for the students here. A lot of techniques and not only the techniques per se, but all the side notes we had throughout this conversation are also valuable. And you might be able to see all of this and learn way more in the Metal Learning Pathway that's coming pretty soon, or maybe it's already released when this episode is coming out. But yeah, you'll be able to see all of that in the Metal Learning Pathway here at Pickup Music with Patrick Myron. Pat, thank you so much for being with us here today.
Yeah, of course. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much for listening to this podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to our channel. And I'll see you on the next one.